This is episode 33 of the Rookie Big Board. I am your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator. I am excited about this episode. We are doing preseason risers and fallers, and this is not just a hot takes episode. This is not my favorite and my least favorite players of the preseason. I'm going to go through and talk about the most significant changes on the rookie big board itself, because that is a more precise measurement here of players whose values have increased and decreased. Remember, the rookie big board looks at players for short-term impact and long-term impact as a part of opportunity index, which creates overall 35% of a player's entire rookie profile. Now, the reason I am so excited about this show in particular is because this show, in essence, is a huge reason the Rookie Big Board podcast exists, right? A lot of shows cover rookies in the winter, in the spring, and even into summer. But my big point with this Rookie Big Board process has been that you need to be able to evaluate rookies through their first season to really best take advantage of their value, because a lot of value swings for players throughout the first month and first season of their rookie campaign. So I'm going to talk about the players whose preseason had the most significant impact here, specifically looking at the three-week period from the beginning of the preseason. Now here, as we get ready for week one of the NFL season, it would be so easy for me to just focus on next year's class, start getting hype on players, and start looking forward to 2022. I think that's what a lot of folks do, and I'm not knocking that process. I understand it's exciting. The last episode of the Rookie Big Board, which I just dropped yesterday, was all about my observations for the 2022 and 2023 classes, but we would be remiss if we did not take time to analyze the change in values for the rookies here through the preseason, a really critical point in time here for rookies. So we're going to do our five risers, five fallers here, and as always, there's going to be a couple honorable mentions along the way. Let's start with the positives here. Let's start with the risers. Now, Jarrett Patterson, he rises at plus 0.5 here on the rookie big board scale. Now, that's a pretty significant rating, by the way. Players don't swing much in value, so Patterson, coming off of the draft, had a 5.7 rookie big board rating. That puts you in bench depth territory. He is now, or I should say, that puts you in taxi squad stash territory here. Jarrett Patterson has now risen to bench depth, which means I think he has a legitimate chance to be a factor in some matchups this season. All right, he has cleared out, or I should say, he has carved out a clear running back 2/3 role. I think he's running back 2 on the ground, running back 3 overall, because I do think they're still going to use JD McKissick there in the passing game. But I think Jarrett Patterson has the opportunity to have legitimate fantasy football impact here. So he's moved up to the 29th overall rank. That's a total rank change of plus 26. So like I said, plus 0.5 is pretty significant when looking at rookie big board rating. If you just want to think about overall rankings, he moved up 26 spots here to 29th overall. So I'm saying that if we did a rookie draft right now, Jarrett Patterson would be my 29th player off the board here in a Superflex, which is a mid-third round pick. He was going for much later than that, essentially free. And I hope you stashed him on nearly every roster like I encouraged you to do, because I have him nearly everywhere. I'm excited for his future. Now, I got to be honest, this is a player I have nowhere, but he still rose up the board. This process is not just about checking and confirming my priors here. I got to check the guys that I was not as high on. And Ramondre Stevenson certainly had a positive preseason. Now, the first couple weeks, he really was racking up big totals against the threes and the fours. He started to get more action and more rotation here against first and second team defenses as the preseason went on. I want to be clear, I still think it's Damian Harris's show for this season, with enough left over, especially in the passing game, for James White. But Ramondre Stevenson did look cleaner, than he did in his college tape. He looked more explosive. He looked lighter, and he hit that second gear a lot easier here in the preseason. So, you know, sometimes we have preseason heroes and they flare out and you never see him again. I don't think that's what we're going to see from Ramondre Stevenson, but I also don't think he's necessarily going to jump into the action here right away. Ramondre Stevenson has moved up 0.4 preseason. He was a 5.9 just on the edge of that taxi squad stash. He is also benched up now. He's 27th overall. So the rookie big board actually has him ranked two spots above Jarrett Patterson. But both of these running backs are big risers here from the preseason. How about a wide receiver that I was skeptical on, despite the fact that I got to see him play pretty firsthand here for my Tennessee Vols? Josh Palmer is a plus 0.3 here from the preseason. He moves up in the rankings. He started off in the rookie big board rankings down in the 30s, and he's up to 25 here. So he is an early third round selection if we were to redo our rookie drafts right now. Here's the bottom line. As the preseason went on, it was clear that the Chargers had it a part of their game plan to hyper-focus and hyper-target Josh Palmer. Now, Keenan Allen didn't play, Mike Williams didn't play, a lot of Chargers starters didn't play in the preseason, and that's fine because I didn't expect him to get more targets than Keenan Allen or Mike Williams. But what I saw in the preseason told me that Josh Palmer is clearly the wide receiver three in a really potent offense. Remember, Justin Herbert is going to throw the ball. He's going to throw the ball a lot. And the Chargers struggled at times last year to have a good wide receiver three. Remember the Jalen Guyton weeks? I think we can have a lot more consistent Jalen Guyton weeks, except now it's going to be Josh Palmer. It's not going to be Jalen Guyton. Everybody on the Chargers beat is excited about Josh Palmer, and so he is the ideal bench depth territory for a rookie. He's somebody I want to get in on now, because remember, Mike Williams is on the last year of his rookie contract. He's been super inconsistent. He struggled with injuries. And Josh Palmer, if he performs well as a rookie, could be elevated to wide receiver two just a year from now in an offense, again, that is a high-volume passing attack. You have to be interested in Josh Palmer, and he's absolutely a riser here from the preseason. My fourth highest riser is Rondale Moore. And actually, Rondale Moore, I mean, he looked good in the preseason. I'm not sure that he really did anything that I didn't expect him to do, but he still moved up here in the rookie big board. Because as I dug more and more into the Cardinals projections, as I really tried to feel out that wide receiver room, and we definitely saw some things here from preseason action, I just became more and more comfortable that Rondale Moore was going to be a part of this offense and a pretty critical part of it. So he only moves up actually one spot despite being plus 0.3. He was 15th for me on the rookie big board at the beginning of the preseason, and he's up to 14th. So it's certainly a rise. I think it's more of validation for folks that were high on Rondale Moore. I'm still proceeding with caution. I want to point out here that Rondale Moore, he slid into weekly starter territory when he went from 6'8 to 7'1 because that 7 line is the boundary right there to go from bench depth to weekly starter. So my point here being, I think Arizona is going to involve him enough that Rondale Moore is a guy that you're going to start in good matchups this season. He's not necessarily somebody that you're always going to roll out every week, but somebody that you could roll out if you had to in deeper leagues every week, and he'd probably get you between 8 and 10 fantasy points in a PPR league. One more riser here. We're going to finish it off, and this one is actually, I think, flying way too under the radar, and that's Emer Smith-Marset. Remember, Emer Smith-Marset out of Iowa, a really kind of a gadgety guy for the Hawks there, and that made me proceed with a little bit of caution, really trying to figure out what his role would be in Minnesota. But he is, with Chad Beebe on IR, he is the far and away clear wide receiver three. And an offense that now is missing Irv Smith, there's a lot of volume opportunity here for Smith-Marset. You have to think that they're going to be interested in using him as some kind of creative option in an offense that otherwise gets fairly predictable. So Smith-Marset is somebody who I would be trying to roster everywhere because he's still essentially free. For a lot of folks, he's probably on your waiver wire. I want to point out here, I don't think he's going to be a smash, you know, gonna you know, go off a bunch of weeks type guy. But I do think he's going to be relevant enough, and I do think he's going to catch the eye of folks with some big plays. You know, in deeper best ball leagues, I could see him putting up some big weeks there. Again, we're not all in on Emer Smith-Marset for this season, but he's up to 37th on the rookie big board. That's up 8 spots from preseason when he was 45. So he is definitely worth rostering in your leagues, assuming you're playing in deeper leagues, which, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you probably are. All right, one more just honorable mention, by the way. I wanted to make sure I threw it out there. Looking through depth charts, there was actually two guys. I take that back. There's two honorable mentions here. There's two guys where I just noticed that they had a decent opportunity, maybe not now, but down the road. And the first one is John Bates out of Boise State. He's the tight end. And honestly, not somebody I have a ton of tape on, but I noticed that he is the tight end two in Washington, and he is the tight end two in Washington. This is a passing attack that we expect to be a little bit more high volume with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and certainly we're in on Logan Thomas and Logan Thomas primarily, but it's worth stashing John Bates in case something happens to Logan Thomas. Clearly, Washington is confident enough to have him as the tight end two on the roster right now. The other one is Michael Stretchen, out of Indianapolis. Remember, Stretchen was a D2 player, really high measurables, you know, athletic type guy, really a large frame, I think is the phrase that I was trying to get there. He's got a large frame here. And, you know, he's kind of flown under the radar, but I noticed that he made the Colts roster, not on the taxi squad. Stretchen is actually on the roster itself. He's their fifth wide receiver. I don't expect him to get run right now, but when I noticed that, I reached out to one of my Colts connections here, and they encouraged me that the Colts are interested in Stretchen. They're interested in trying him out in different roles. And so I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye on him. He's got to be nearly free in every league, even the deeper leagues, just because he's flown so under the radar. But with so many good wide receivers landing on the taxi squad, and we're going to be talking, or not, oh my gosh, not in the taxi squad, that's fantasy football, on the NFL team's practice squads, we're going to be talking about some of those guys here in a second. With so many wide receivers falling on NFL team practice squads, a guy like Stretchen, who has been flying under the radar but ends up as wide receiver 5 on the 53-man roster, you can't look past that. You can't ignore that. I can't factor him into my projections yet, so he's not actually rising too high in the rookie big board rating itself. But his long-term projection certainly gets a bump, and that gets him a little bit of a bump here on the rookie big board. So that's actually in total 7 risers here for this preseason. But it can't all be rainbows here. We got to be a realist, and sometimes there's rain. And so let's go here and dig into our preseason fallers. The biggest faller, and this one's easy, it's Travis Etienne. He's down 1.2. That is a significant drop. I just mentioned that plus 0.5 was a huge increase. Well, minus 1.2 is a significant drop. Travis Etienne was 8 overall on the rookie big board in the preseason. He's down to 16. This was a really, really difficult one for me to factor in the proper value. In my heart, it doesn't seem like right now, if we did a rookie draft, that I would let Travis Etienne fall to the mid-second round of a rookie draft. That's what I'm saying right now. He's at 16, right? That's pick 204. So that feels low, but you have to keep in mind he's losing his entire rookie season, and then he has to come back from a lower body injury as a running back. Even if he does have a really successful next 4 years of his rookie contract, then he's going to be a second contract rookie or a second contract running back with a lower body injury, and that is best case scenario over the next 4 years. That's not going to land him most likely in a really ideal situation. Now, I'm not ruling it out. Dalvin Cook is a great example of how you can bounce back from these lower body injuries, and Travis Etienne is super talented, but when you have to weigh the fact that you're losing this entire season into his long-term value, Travis Etienne ends up falling 8 spots here, down to 16. I hate it, but it's just kind of where we're at now. A couple wide receivers coming up here that have fallen to their taxi squads, despite the fact that they initially got good hype over the summer and suggestion that they would be more involved in the offense. The first one here is going to be Cornell Powell for Kansas City. We're really encouraged here. Some really good reports out of Kansas City initially this summer, and it ended up that the Chiefs released Cornell Powell. He did clear waivers. They were able to get him back to their practice squad. So Cornell Powell will start the season on the practice squad, but certainly somebody that I liked at Clemson. He developed well over his 4 years there. He had a really solid, consistent role. And the Chiefs, despite the fact that they're a high-powered offense, really struggle with depth at the wide receiver position. I still wouldn't be surprised if Cornell Powell ends up being a factor, but he drops down significantly from a guy who would have been in fourth round rookie draft territory. He is down to 60 right now on the rookie big board. So certainly hold on to him if you drafted him. There's no need to panic him off your roster. But I think we're going to have to wait a little bit longer here before we really get to see Cornell Powell pay off. Another guy in similar territory, except he carried much higher draft capital. Dez Fitzpatrick out of Louisville. Dez Fitzpatrick has had a roller coaster ride on the rookie big board. I gave him a decent evaluation. I thought his tape was fine at Louisville. It wasn't super exciting. I definitely didn't think it matched that draft capital, but I kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt and bumped him back up when Tennessee gave him that draft capital because Louisville ran an offense that it was difficult at times to really isolate the wide receiver there and really evaluate them outside of the system, which always is one of the trickiest things to do. So when I'm looking at Dez Fitzpatrick, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. Initially, it sounded like he was going to be involved in the Tennessee passing attack, especially with the fact that look past A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. We're dealing with Josh Reynolds. Cameron Batson. I thought that Dez Fitzpatrick with that draft capital would have a natural role in that offense, and it was one of the biggest surprises when it was cut down. I think it was the second round of cutdowns, and Fitzpatrick ended up going to waivers. He clears. He is still on their practice squad, so I'm sure we will see Dez Fitzpatrick at some point this season, but he drops 0.5 in rookie big board rating, and he drops 23 spots overall on the rookie big board. We're continuing down the same trend here, and this one's Daz Newsome. Remember, out of UNC, Daz Newsome was somebody I was really excited about because I thought he fit the Chicago offense very well. And I should preface, he still does fit the Chicago offense very well. I'm sticking with that. This one is a little bit different here from Fitzpatrick and Powell in that Daz Newsome suffered an injury. So he gets a little bit of benefit of the doubt in saying that it wasn't just his performance that kept him from making the 53-man roster. And Newsome is technically on the practice squad. I think he's actually technically on their IR reserves right now. But I'm assuming when he comes off of reserves, he's probably going to first go to the practice squad and then end up on the team. But I was excited for the role that he was going to have in the team, and I still think he's going to get there, but maybe we have to wait another season. Newsome in the slot can be a really athletic, twitchy, underneath, reliable option here, especially a year from now with Justin Fields. Hopefully this offense is really clicking on all cylinders. Hopefully they can get A-Rob back, and Darnell Mooney, remember, will be there helping stretch the field and open up the underneath for Daz Newsome, which could be a really critical element of the Chicago Bears offense if they are going to continue to improve, and maybe get a little bit more creative. So I'm certainly not off on Daz Newsome. I've got him in a lot of spots and I'm holding tight. Put him on your IR, put him on your taxi squad. That's why you've got those slots. But being realistic about it, he moves down 18 spots on the rookie big board because it's going to take us a little bit longer to figure out when Daz Newsome is going to make his impact. And the last guy is Amari Rodgers. This is a really tough one for Amari Rodgers because he didn't do anything wrong, but the addition of Randall Cobb in Green Bay just makes it a little too murky for the 2021 seasonal projection. So Amari Rodgers ends up dropping down 0.3 for a few factors. The short-term impact, like I said, Randall Cobb, but there's a compounding factor here. Amari Rodgers is better off when you have Aaron Rodgers, and it seems like Aaron Rodgers may be out of Green Bay after this year. We barely got Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay for this year. Right, so the long-term impact to Amari Rodgers is now all of a sudden he may not get a chance to break out with a really MVP level veteran quarterback. He may have to do it next year with Jordan Love, or if they bring in another veteran quarterback, because Jordan Love probably won't win that quarterback battle, if we're being honest with ourselves. So Amari Rodgers just kind of finds himself in a conflicting position here, so he ends up going down four spots to 30th on the rookie big board. So he drops a little bit. It's not too far down here. Again, you're holding all of these guys. I'm not panicking on any of these guys. The only one I could see potentially flipping is Travis Etienne. And that's like if you can get your money back, right? If you could get a first round pick next year and you feel like it's a solid mid-round pick and you could flip your money back on Travis Etienne and just cash out, but I'd probably hold because I am an Etienne fan and I do believe he can come back and make an impact. I'm not worried about James Robinson long term. Certainly a situation to monitor. But for the most part, with these fallers, you're holding on to them. Thankfully, most of our fallers here are less expensive players, so we don't have to necessarily worry about the fact that we paid up. One last note here as we finish out the show, I just wanted to run through just a set of numbers here because I find it interesting. I thought you might hear as we close in on the preseason. The rookie big board had 163 prospects on it coming out of this draft process, right? So 163 players on the rookie big board. Currently, through the process, we had 23 UDFAs, one of which has signed with the CFL. So that drops 23 players off of our radar. 31 players made teams, were like preferred UDFAs or were drafted and were cut outright from camp, cleared waivers, and were not signed. So they're current free agents. That drops another 31 off of our immediate radar. 35 players were cut, cleared waivers and signed to practice squad or did not clear waivers were claimed onto another practice squad. So either way, 35 players on the practice squad. You run those numbers here, it gives you 74 players were drafted and are with the original team that they were drafted on or are in some capacity on the 53-man roster. This podcast is about the process, right? All the way through. We started with 163. We're down to 74 immediately relevant guys. We cannot rule out our 35 practice squad guys. And I bet if we look back a year from now, one or two of those cut guys, guys that got cut from camp, will have an opportunity and will become fantasy football relevant at some point. So I just wanted to finish the preseason show off with this. We will continue to track rookie value throughout the season. As well, we'll have episodes focusing on the 2022 class and more Devy-heavy episodes focusing on the 2023 and 2024 classes. If you are not already a patron, I highly encourage you to do so. There's no better way to study rookies than to start now. Be a part of it throughout the entire process. It's patreon.com/theffeducator. It's only $3 here to get in on the Devy rankings, the Dynasty rankings, the projections, and the 2022 Rookie Big Board, which we are absolutely building out already. I appreciate you listening to this episode of the Rookie Big Board.